So, take God's word and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. During these days, we're talking about great moments of decision. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about, and the next Sunday after that, and the next Sunday about after that, we're going to talk about the process of making decisions. We've already talked about Joshua and his decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so this morning, I want to emphasize not moments of decision, but the moment of decision. Because you know, as they say, timing is everything. And even getting on this platform this morning, timing is everything. You be in the right place at the right time. Have you ever thought about how much of your life hangs on where you were, when you were there? Even the destiny of your life, the eternal destiny of your life, hangs on where you were at such and such a time and what happened when you were there. You may have said, looking back over my shoulder, Brother Monty, there was a time that I came real close to dying. Can I tell you that you're closer to dying this morning than you were when you thought you were close to dying? Because you're still here. I was walking down the street in Nashville, Tennessee one time, and it had snowed and iced, and up off the top of one of those great big buildings, there was a chunk of ice that let go and hit 3 feet in front of me. I felt the air from it as it came down, and it hit right in front of me, and I thought I could have been killed, all but for a sense of timing. Maybe I swallowed one extra drop of coffee down my throat that morning. Maybe I was a little slow out the door. Maybe I was actually polite for a change, let somebody go in front of me. But it was all a sense of timing. The difference between a minor league baseball player and a major league baseball player is a sense of timing. The difference between a so-so fishing trip and a good fishing trip is to have somebody say to you, you should have been here yesterday. They were biting yesterday. I've had that happen many times. We even use different sayings. A day late and a dollar short. You ever heard that? Well, you ever been there? A day late and a dollar short. Or Mom used to say, the early bird gets the worm. In other words, get out of bed. There are things that need to be done. Or you may have heard someone say, he who hesitates is lost. Or, if you've been in a blacksmith shop, you understand the meaning of this word. Strike while the iron is hot. It's all about timing. The job you got or didn't get. It may have been because you showed up at a certain time when they needed some help, or you showed up when they didn't need help. The job you have, that's about timing. The school you went to, you may have gotten into it because the timing of her application was right. Or maybe the girl you married. You see, you could have called her sometime or other when she wouldn't have wanted to have anything to do with you. But God, in his sovereignty, arranged it so when she answered the phone, she wasn't with another boy. And so she said, well, I don't have anybody else around tonight, so yeah, I'll go out with you. And your marriage is all about a sense of timing. You said, wilt thou? And she wilted. And it's all about a sense of timing. Moments matter when you're making decisions. But I'll tell you this, folks. The most important decision you're ever going to make is going to be when Jesus passes by. Throughout the pages of God's Word, throughout the New Testament, there were people who made what appeared to be a split-second decision. Now, it may not have been as split second as you think. It might have arisen out of a long period of desperation in their life. Maybe they even made a statement speaking to themselves. They thought, if Jesus ever comes by, if Jesus ever passes by, I think I could get some help if Jesus would come by. And that desperation led to a determination that if he does come by, I'm going to do something about it. If I do hear the master call, I'm going to respond. And as a result of that, destination changes. Joseph Addison Alexander wrote a rather lengthy poem called The Hidden Line, The Destiny of Man. You may not know the whole poem, but you probably have heard the opening words. There is a time we know not when, a point we know not where, that marks the destiny of man to glory or despair. And I've heard those words. I'd never read the whole poem, but I saw it this week, and I'm a man. He goes on to say, there is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and God's wrath. To pass that limit is to die as if by stealth. It does not quench the beaming eye or pale the glow of health. The conscience may be still at ease, the spirit lithe and gay. That which please still may please, and care be thrust away. But on the forehead God has set indelibly a mark, unseen by men, for men as yet are blind and in the dark. And yet doomed man's path below may bloom as Eden bloomed. He did not, does not, will not know or feel that he is doomed. He knows, he feels that all is well and every fear is calmed. He lives, he dies, he wakes in hell, not only doomed but damned. Oh, where is this mysterious bourne by which our path is crossed, beyond which God himself has sworn that he who goes is lost? How far may we go on in our sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope and where begin the confines of despair? An answer from the skies is sent. Ye that from God depart, while it is called today, repent and harden not your heart. There is a line. And obviously, this poem written 200 years ago by Joseph Addison Alexander was saying the line is not so much the line of death. The line is a line that you cross in the course of life when God has dealt with you and God has pled with you and Jesus Christ has passed by and he's passed by and he's kept on going and you didn't call out to him. You didn't reach out to him. You didn't say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save my soul. You let him go on down the road. And you crossed a line. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I, the King James Version says, succored thee. The word means help. So God says, I have heard you, and I have helped you. And then he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord is all about a moment. And I can't see it this morning. And I'm glad that I can't see it this morning, because I don't think I could bear it if I could see it this morning. What if I looked in the faces that are out here before me today and I had the ability to see that in 51 hours, sir, you're going to stand in the presence of God? Every year we start January the 1st. And you think, how many, who are going to step into God's presence? You've been to your last family reunion. You'll be talked about. You'll be remembered. What if I knew by the end of July that you, ma'am, you, sir, you, son, you're going to be in the presence of God? You say, well, you can't know that. And that's what I'm saying, folks. I'm glad I can't know that. Because step by step by step, we pass moments of decision. And I don't think I could bear the thought of it. Neither can I bear that man or woman who will go another 50 years but already have crossed a line because they've heard the call of God in their life and they said no. And the words of Genesis echo, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Too late for you. You thought you had plenty of time, but too late for you. The time of grace is gone. Death rests on your brow. And I lack the ability to see it. And this passage of Scripture says, I've heard thee in the accepted time. In the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Three very simple words this morning. Number one, I have heard. I have heard. This is what the Savior says. I have heard thee in a time accepted. He has heard you because you're part of that great group who in desperation call out to him. You remember when you called out to him? You remember when the Spirit of God was moving in your life and you called out to him? I would ask you this. Have you called out to him this week? Because I have. It's not been calling out to him in salvation, but it's just simply been two words. Oh, God. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. Oh, yes, we do know where to turn. Oh, God. What's happened to our nation? What's happened to the people of our nation? What's happened to just being good to one another in our nation? Oh, God. And so all across this building this morning, there are people that you're going through the hardest time you've ever gone through in your life. I can't look in your heart. I don't know what's happening, but it could be sickness, and you've never faced it like you face it right now. It could be in your home, and you've never been in such a place as you are right now, and you don't know what to do, and you know what you do, and that is to say, oh, Jesus, help me. And he says, I have heard you. When God's people call out to him, it doesn't hit a heaven that's made of brass. It doesn't fall on deaf ears. He says, I have heard you. Our God hears us. Don't you believe in praying, people? Don't you believe that our God hears our prayers? You see, when Jesus walked on this earth, people were always watching for him. They were always reaching out to him. Jesus was passing by. There's chaos in the streets. What's going on? 1,000 voices may be crying out to him. And yet God's word says, I have heard thee in the time accepted. You see, millions of voices can be lifted up to our God. Billions of voices can be lifted up to our God. And he hears them all. I grew up in a Baptist church. And I remember when Betty and I went to sing in Pentecostal church one time. Actually, she wasn't singing. She was there for my support. And I went to sing in this Pentecostal church. And when they all got up to pray, they all prayed at the same time. Scared me right out of my Baptistism almost. I mean, scared me half to death. And I thought, how in the world? This is nothing but confusion. My God heard every one of those prayers. Every one of them. They don't have to pray like we pray. God heard every one of those prayers. People are always reaching out to Jesus. They're crying out to Jesus. They're desiring Jesus. They're wanting Jesus. Up there in Gadara, there's a demon-possessed man. Listen to what he said when he cried with a loud voice to the only one who could ever help him. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, please help me. Don't torment me. And Jesus delivered him of that demon over across the lake in Capernaum. Jairus runs to him and said, my little daughter is at death's door. Can you come and help her? And Jesus says, I will go. He says, my daughter is dying. Please lay your hands on her. And Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. And there's a lady who's had an issue of blood many years, spent much money on many physicians, and got no better, only got worse. That's what happens a lot of times. And she only got worse. And she said to herself, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And he came by, and Jesus, as Jesus passed by, she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, immediately power issued out of him into her, and she was healed. When she cried out to him, even a silent cry, she cried out to him. Down there in Jericho, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. But Jesus passed by and he said, I can't see Jesus, but I want to see Jesus. So he was a very brilliant man. He climbed a sycamore tree. And if you go to Jericho today, they'll tell you there's that sycamore right there, the very one. For $5, you get to see it. Yeah, you just go look at that sycamore tree in Jericho. Well, okay, so Jesus passed by and he looks up and he sees again this cry out of the heart of Zacchaeus. He said, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to go eat dinner at your house today. And he came down so fast, tradition says, at sycamore Baltimore has been slick ever since. I'm telling you, Jesus passed by his life. Bartimaeus also lived in Jericho, and Jesus is passing by. He's on his way now to Jerusalem, and Bartimaeus doesn't know that this is the last time Jesus is going out of town. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, is standing at the edge of town. Jesus is going out of town, going toward Jerusalem. He'll never walk through Jericho again, never step foot in Jericho again, never go through the streets of Jericho again. And Bartimaeus says, "What's going on?" Because he can't see. And they said, "Jesus is passing by." And Bartimaeus begins to say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus turns around. You see what? That was his moment of decision. Had he not cried out then, Jesus was never going to pass by that way again. This was the last time Jesus went through that town. I ask you, have you cried out to him? The Bible says that the Word of God says, "I have heard." And then he says, "I have helped." I am so thankful for the help of Jesus. I've known that help. This is what he does. This is what Jesus does. He helps people. His greatest help came at an accepted time. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the curse of the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What's that all about? It's that everything that Jesus did, he did on time. And let me tell you, folks, he's not off schedule today. Now is the time. Help is on the way. Be alert. Be aware. Timing is everything. And so you've waited and you've watched and you've said, if he ever passes by, if he ever comes this way, when help comes, don't be like the old boy in the flood. They sent a boat to get him. They sent another boat to get him. And every time he said, "God's going to take care of me, God's going to take care of me." They sent a helicopter, dropped a ladder down to try to get him. He stayed on top of his buildings. The flood came. Finally, he drowned, stood before the Lord. And he said, "You let me down." He said, "You said you were going to save me." And God said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Well, how many times does God have to pass by and make it so clear? And he says, help is on the way. You see, if you are desperate enough, you will be determined to accept the help that is offered of our God. So he says, "I've heard, I've helped." And this is what we need to say: "I will heed. I will heed you, Lord." Now that word simply means, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. This is what the passage of Scripture says. "I have heard thee in a time accepted. I have helped you in the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So if you have been thinking for a long time, one of these days I'm going to get my heart right with God, and so you're desperate enough and you're determined enough, then your whole destiny can be changed in a moment if, as Jesus passes by your life, you will heed him. You will listen to his word. You will reach out to him. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. You have a moment, just a moment. You say, "Well, I'm one of these analytical types, and I want to weigh all the evidence, and I want..." Yeah, if you don't take a medicine, you're going to die. So it's not that you so much want to analyze all that's in the medicine, all the contents of it, and all the timing of it. A doctor gives you a prescription, you go to the drugstore, you get it filled, and you take the medicine as designed. Now, what do? You've just heeded the doctor's orders. Well, this is what we need to do. The Lord has said, "I have heard your cry. I have sent help." And now Jesus is passing by. This is your moment of decision. Now is the time. You desire the Lord's help. You're desperate and determined. Now is the time. I don't know how I can drive this truth home, other than Jesus made this comment concerning those who followed John the Baptist. And sometimes it's kind of puzzling to us. He said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And someone says, "Well, what does that mean?" It just means that this is not a time to wait patiently in line. This is a time to push your way to the front. I learned that in Brazil, Bruce. We Americans are great standers in line, but not in Brazil. Boy, they'll run over top of you to get to a banana or whatever. And that's the way it is in most of the world. Standing in line is kind of an American thing. It's foreign to a lot of the world. I mean, if they can get to the counter, they're going to get to the counter. They're going to rush to the front. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, the violent take it by force. In other words, when you can get to Christ, then you need to climb. I remember preaching a revival years ago and seeing an old boy climb over a seat. Come out of the back corner, climb over a seat to come to Christ. And I think the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, the violent take it by force. You say, well, I get everything right in my life, then I get everything right, then I'm going to come to Jesus. That's not how this operates, folks. He says, you heed my call right now. This is the day of salvation. One preacher is preaching to a man, telling him that the lifestyle he's living was wrong, and the guy says, I'm under contract, I have to do this, this is what I should be doing, and I will get out of this business I'm in when I reach the end of my term. And he said to this old boy, he said, there are no terms with God. Now is the day of salvation. The rich young ruler was counting on a better time or a better set of conditions, and he went away sorrowfully in that moment. King Agrippa said, Paul, some more convenient season on thee I'll call. There was never another convenient season so far as we know in Agrippa's life. And you keep saying, I'm going to give it up and I'll change my ways. And when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? I believe there's a time when God says enough. No more chance to change. No more opportunity to call upon the Lord. Billy Sunday said, deathbed repentance is burning the candle of your life for the devil and blowing the smoke in God's face. Don't count on the day that's going to come when they're going to put you in a nice pair of pajamas and you're going to know that you're dying and you're going to bring everybody around. And on that day, they're all going to come around and they're going to sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot or whatever. And you're going to fold your hands, you're going to die. And in that day, you're going to have plenty of time to turn to the Lord. Who says in that day you can turn to the Lord? Because there is a time we know not when, a point we know not where, that marks the destiny of man to glory or despair. This is the day of salvation. You call on his name today. I want you to bow your head with me this morning. Now, the Joylanders, I don't think knew they were going to do this, but they're doing the invitation. You all just learning all kinds of things as the morning goes along. You can say this morning, oh Lord, help me. And I know that he will hear. So often it's been a prayer lifted up, pass me not, O gentle Savior. So often it's been a heart cry, and you say, is he listening? He's listening. And so I don't know what the burden of your heart is this morning, but this altar is open, and God does know. And I believe that Jesus is passing by today. You may be going through, you may have gotten a terrible diagnosis this week. You may be going through cancer. And you may be having heart issues. There could be a number of things, but Jesus is passing by. Would you reach out, touch the hem of his garment as he passes by this morning? Call on his name. He says, I've heard you in a time accepted. And he, through his son, God through his son Jesus on the cross, shed his blood to help us. More than help us, he heals us. And he gives us life. And I do believe you can sit in a service and hear a sermon and singing and an invitation, and you can say no. And you can go on and live a vibrant life, and the Spirit of God may never speak to you ever again. I believe that can happen. There are moments of decision. This is a moment of decision. Heed his call and come to Jesus this morning. Heavenly Father, we are calling out to you today. We are desperate for you in our land. We are as desperate for you, though, individually as that demon-possessed man in Gadara. Is that father whose daughter laid at the point of death and he ran to get Jesus. And Jesus lifted that little girl up. As that woman reached out to touch We can't see it. We don't know. We don't know when the time. We don't know the point. But Lord God, let no one set aside a day of grace today. This is the day. This is the accepted time.